You make your way to the grocery store. You've got your list. You're walking up and down the aisles, and it's kind of crowded this day. And so you're bobbing and weaving, getting the things that you need, making substitutions as you need to. And then it's time to check out. So you head to the checkout areas, and now comes the toughest decision of your day. Which line? Right? So you make it, you're kind of eyeing up. You're like, I'm going to choose lane number three. There's two people ahead of you. And as you kind of pull in behind them, you think, oh, maybe lane number six was better. You're still wondering. Somebody comes in behind you and now you're locked in, right? You turn to the person that came in behind you and you say, would you like to go to church with me? You're laughing because you're thinking, okay, that's a little awkward, right? Okay, story number two. Story number two is you've got your list, you head to the grocery store. It seems to be a little bit more crowded than usual. You're bobbing and weaving, you're getting the things that you need, you're making substitutions as you need to. You then get to the toughest decision of your day, which is which line. You choose lane number three. There's two people ahead of you, and as you scoot in behind them in lane number three, you're still kind of eyeing. Maybe six is better, and then somebody comes behind you, and now you're locked in. You turn to them, you smile warmly, and you say, looks like we're here for a bit. And they say, yeah, I suppose we ought to settle in. And then you say, well, what do you got planned for the rest of your day? And they say, well, I'm going to take the groceries home, and then I'm going to go to my kids' school and pick them up from school. Oh, really? You got kiddos? Oh, that's great. What grades are they in? And they answer, well, they're in fourth grade and sixth grade. Ah, oh, that's fantastic. What kinds of things are they interested in? Well, one of them's interested in soccer, real big time. And another one is interested in music. And so they're learning music. Oh, what instrument? Oh, they're learning the piano. Oh, that's fantastic. Boy, parenting is something else, isn't it? Yeah, that's a challenge. What do you do to help pass on the things that are important to you? And they respond, boy, that's kind of the challenge, isn't it? Because I got a lot of things that are important to me that I really want to instill into them during the limited time that they're under my roof. And you agree, yep, that's a challenge for me too. You know, one of the things that I've learned is something important to me is my faith. And I've learned that one of the things that parents can do to pass on their faith is to serve with their kiddos. So my church in a couple of days is going to serve the city. And so I'm bringing my kids with me to serve the city. And they respond, boy, that sounds pretty good. And you say, well, why don't you and your kids join us? Now, you compare that invitation to the first invitation, and it's a lot different. And what's different about it? It was in the context of conversation. See, conversation is the pathway to invitation. So around here at Life Center, we have a 10-year vision to see 10,000 people move from lost to found and found to maturing follower. And the only way that we're going to accomplish that vision is that if all of us play a role in helping people go from lost to found, and if all of us are maturing followers. Now, around here, we've got a strategy for moving people from lost to found, and it's, say it with me if you know it, it's find, tell, bring. That's right. So for the last few weeks, we've been looking at find and tell. And so today we're looking at bring. What does it look like to bring people with us to get connected to the church? And that invitation, bringing people with us, sits in the context of conversation. Easy, introverts. We'll be okay. It'll be all right. Deep breath. Just hang in. There was a study that was done at a Christian university that is highly regarded here in the U.S. And that study asked the students, what is your greatest barrier to sharing your faith? You know what the number one answer is? The number one answer is human conversation. That's the biggest barrier to sharing my faith. The art of conversation, it's almost a a declining art at this point, right? We're becoming less and less familiar with the art of interpersonal conversation. It's getting a little harder. And then you add to it the idea of spiritual conversation. And we kind of think, well, boy, you know, I don't know that people want to talk about spiritual things. That's kind of on the really hyper-personal side, or, you know, less people are interested in spiritual conversation than used to, because you may know that church attendance over the last 25 years has gone down. In fact, it's gone down significantly. 15% of the adult population has moved from attending church service on a weekly basis or on a monthly basis to less than once a year. That's 40 million people who have stopped going to church on a regular basis. And we look at that and we say, okay, conversation is hard, but it looks to me like people are not interested in conversation spiritually. But let's lean into this a little bit more, because the reality is there's a comprehensive study that looked at why is it that people are not attending church anymore? Because we might look at that and think, well, church, faith, that's substantive. That's core to who I am. There's got to be some really core reasons why people are choosing not to be part of church anymore. Things that are, you know, incredibly personal to them. You know what? What this study showed is that 40% of the people that have stopped going to church stop going because they moved. So the greatest reason for the decline of the church in America is the moving truck. There it is. Reasons number 2 and 3 are just as mundane, right? One of them is, well, it's just kind of inconvenient. I live a busy life and just kind of fell out of the habit. Another one is family changes. And those three things comprise almost 80% of the reason that people have stopped going to church. So it's not particularly that they're averse or don't want to hold spiritual conversations. It's actually far more mundane than that. So let's move out of our brain that people perhaps are not interested in talking about spiritual things, because that's not actually what the research shows. Now, again, we can look at this idea of conversation, and what we know is that because it's a dying art, that folks are turning to artificial intelligence for companionship. You heard of ChatGPT? You know the number one use of ChatGPT is companionship. Now, artificial intelligence is getting better and better and better at simulating the human interaction, but you know what? It will always be artificial, a simulation. There's something about human interaction that we as a people are craving, and we're craving it more than we ever have. In fact, we've got a loneliness epidemic in our culture today. 1 in 2 Americans has a measurable amount of loneliness in their life. And what's the antidote to loneliness? Relationship is the antidote to loneliness, and the foundation of that is conversation. Folks are hungry for conversation. Spiritual conversation included. So, conversation is the pathway to invitation. Let's spend a moment here thinking about what the Bible has to say about conversations, about getting better at conversations. I'm going to invite you to turn to Colossians chapter 4. You're going to need 3 things for this moment. You're going to need a Bible. So go ahead and lean forward, grab a Bible, or perhaps if it's under chairs in front of you, grab those, pass them around, make sure everybody has a Bible, make sure everybody has a pen. And so you just pass pens along. Whether or not people choose to use it is not your problem. That's theirs. So you just make sure they have one, all right? So they got a Bible, a pen, and then you're going to need your handout as well. You're going to arm yourself with these 3 things as we look at Colossians chapter 4. And I think it's on page 1017. Is that right? Somebody say yes or no. Yes. Amen. Good. We got some amens. It's on 1017 in the Bibles that are there in the pews.
Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 6. It says this, "Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone." We're going to read this through one more time. And this time, as we read it through, have in mind one question. And the question is this: what does this passage have to say about conversations? What can God teach us about holding conversations through these words? So we believe that the Bible is a way that God communicates to us, and so we're going to open our listening ears and see what he has to say. And after we read it through the second time, we're going to give you 2 minutes to write down what you hear from God about what these verses say about holding conversations. Okay? So that's why you get your pen and your handout. You're just going to write down what God tells you through this passage about conversations. This time, why don't we read it together? So you read it with me. Here we go. "Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone." Take 2 minutes. What is God telling you through this passage about conversations? Conversation is the pathway to invitation. That means we need practice getting better at conversations. So let's do that right now, shall we? The introverts in the room just shut down. It's okay. It's okay. Right here, we can be safe. It's all right. We can share some things. And introverts, extroverts, you both have something to share. How do I know that? Because you just wrote it down. You just heard from God. So, can we do this? Can you find somebody that you did not come here with, and would you share with them something that you wrote down just now, that you heard from God about conversations from this passage? So find somebody that you don't know. And so that means like some people are just going to be sitting there all alone. Yep, get up, go over, walk, and talk to those folks right now. Okay, ready? Let's give it a shot. 2 minutes. Thirty seconds left. All right, we're going to pull back together. You just got some really great pearls of wisdom. Some of you are thinking, I just got great pearls of wisdom. Why in the world do I need to listen to you anymore? And that's fine. That's great. There's some great folks here that have just shared what they heard from God. And can I mention that we just practiced right then and there two of the ways that we follow Jesus around here. Right? We reflect on Scripture. We open the Bible, we look at what it says, and we write some things down. We call that prayer Bible journal. We grow a daily relationship through prayer Bible journal. So we just did that, and you then shared that with somebody else. And that's what we do in group. We have some opportunity to reflect, and then we share what we hear from God. And oh, does the wisdom flow? And my guess is when you shared what you heard from God with somebody else, they didn't say, yeah, that's terrible, that's wrong. And nobody, right? They probably said, wow, that's a great insight. That affirms that we can hear from God through the Bible, right? And we need that reminder from one another. So if you're not in a group, would you give yourself the gift of the reminder that you can hear from God through Scripture? Give yourself the gift of practicing talking spiritually with other folks. Give yourself the gift of learning ways to do PBJ. All of that is in a group. So if you're not in a group, I encourage you to get in a group. This is how we follow Jesus. So stop at the Welcome Center. Those folks will help you get connected to a group. I'm going to share with you a couple of the insights that I find in Colossians chapter 4 as it relates to conversations. The first insight is let's ask God for conversation opportunities, right? It says right there in the Scripture, pray that God will open a door for conversation opportunities. Let's ask God, Lord, would you put before me today opportunities to talk to people, opportunities for conversation that we can turn spiritual. And I'm gonna just admit to you that I'm a big chicken And so I include in my prayer when I ask God for opportunities, God, would you make them easy? God loves giving things to his children. I'm one of his children. And so, okay, let me ask him, God, would you make it so obvious? Who is it that you want me to have conversation with you about you today? Would you make it easy? Would you help me to see those opportunities? Another thing that we can do is we can make the most of every opportunity using genuine curiosity. When we ask questions of people about their lives, do you know what we've just asked them to talk about? Their favorite subject. We love talking about ourselves, what's happening in our lives together. So what we can do is to get curious. And that those questions, they originate from a point of genuine curiosity. So I run a few days a week, 3 or 4 days a week, usually from my house. And when I do that, I follow a few different routes. And I encounter people, neighbors, in my neighborhood, if I run at a specific time of day, pretty frequently. And the people that I've encountered on a regular basis, out of genuine curiosity, I've started to hold conversation with. So Benny and Kim and Denny and most recently Randy. So these folks walk around the neighborhood and because they walk when I run, I see them. And initially it starts with waving to one another. And then after that happens a couple of times, like just recently, Randy, he's the most recent one, right? And so I waved to him for 2 or 3 times. And then I passed him again. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to stop. And out of genuine curiosity, I want to know what's in Randy's life. Where does he live? Why does he walk every day? So I paused and I said, hey, my name's Dave. And he said, I'm Randy. We shook hands. And I said, Randy, I see you out very regularly. What's your favorite way to walk around the neighborhood? And he told me, and in doing so, he shared specifically where in our neighborhood that he lives. And we start holding conversation. And so when I see Randy, when I'm running, I pause, I stop, and I talk to him about things that are in our neighborhood, about things that are in his life. And I've learned a little bit more about Randy. Now, recently he showed me up because he was out walking and I was driving. And I saw him. And I actually saw him at a bus stop in our neighborhood, and he was talking to a student. He was there with a kiddo that was about ready to board the bus. I can't wait to see Randy again. And out of genuine curiosity, ask him, hey, I saw you at the bus stop talking to somebody. Who was that student? What's your relationship with that guy? Because I want to know. We make the most out of every opportunity through genuine curiosity. Now, genuine curiosity, in order to express that, there's a question that we could ask that folks kind of have an easy time kind of blowing off, and that's the question, how are you? Even when we ask it from a genuine posture, folks often will answer fine or good, because it's become a little bit more like a greeting. So we need to think strategically. We need to think well about how to start these types of conversations. And so I'm going to encourage us to memorize some conversation starters, some questions that are a little bit more focused, and they cause people to think. And so I've put some of my favorite questions that I've memorized that I ask people about in order to have conversation with them. And if you've interacted with me in the commons or before or after church, or you probably have been asked by me some of these questions, right? Just today, 2 or 3 or 4 folks, I say, hey, what's the highlight of your week? And so, spoiler alert, if we interact in the future, be ready. That's what I'm going to ask. Let's memorize some conversation starters that are substantive, that bring about people thinking a little bit more and revealing a little bit more about their life in a very accessible way. It's another thing that I see in Colossians chapter 4 very clearly, and that's this. It's grace for everyone. Grace for everyone. We live in a culture today that focuses more on what it is that divides us than what it is that unites us. And the thing that unites us most of all is that God is incredibly in love with every single person, even people that are not like us. And so this passage is very clear. Grace in all conversations, grace for everyone. I love the part of our building that's there in the commons that has like 10-foot tall words painted on the wall. You know what those words are, right? Love everyone always. I think that's a fantastic reminder. We made that our home Wi-Fi network name so that as people like look for Wi-Fi, oh, love everyone always. It's a reminder. And it comes right from the Bible. Grace for everyone. That even means the person in front of you on the road who has a bumper sticker with a political ideology that doesn't line up for yours, and then they turn on their turn signal because they want to get in front of you in traffic? Grace even for them. And so we're going to pump the brakes, and they're going to come in front of us in traffic. And while they're doing that, we're going to pray a prayer of blessing upon their day. We're going to invite God, would you reveal yourself to that person in a fresh way? Touch their soul today. Grace for everyone. Jesus laid down on a cross, outstretched his arms, and received nails in his hands and feet for everyone. And so we're going to have grace for everyone. We're going to interact with people even who are different than we are. So, conversation is the pathway to invitation. And as we hold conversations and as we pray, God, open the doors, there's going to be moments where it is so natural then to make an invitation to church. We see in John chapter 1, it says this: Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. "Come and see." There may be a little bit of uncertainty about whether or not the person believes that they're going to experience the presence of God. And it isn't for us in that moment to try and convince them. We can just simply say, "Well, why don't you come and see?" And when the people of God are assembled together, and they worship God, they celebrate baptism, they talk to one another about what God is doing in our lives, God is so plain to see. Come and see. And we extend invitation to folk. We bring them with us to church. I'm going to invite Mike Hollister to join me on the platform. Mike is a core part of our church here, and he is somebody who extends invitations to others to come to church. Would you give Mike a hand as he joins?
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. You are somebody who makes invitations. Talk to us about your favorite way to go about doing that.
Well, I'll tell you, about two Christmases ago, I got a bunch of these little baby Jesuses, and God kind of prompted me to give them to the people I work with, which is not a real big deal until you find out I work with truckers and bikers. That's a little unnerving. So my very first one I gave out was to my boss, who's a burly hunter. He has every gun you can imagine. He's like a big, kind of scary guy. And I said, "Hey, I just want to give you a little Jesus, let you know I'm praying for you." His response was, "A lot of people are praying for me. I'll never change." Okay. Well, I moved on and I started giving them to all my other guys I work with. And then the scariest one is a biker who was a soldier in a motorcycle club. Tattoos everywhere, rings everywhere. Really, I mean, just, this guy's scary. Took me a little while to get him one because I was a little nervous. Finally, I said, okay, here you go. Just let you know I'm praying for you. I was expecting him to beat me up. But he didn't. He said, man, thanks. That's really cool. And I call them dashboard Jesuses because I haven't put them on their dashboards. And so I went through and gave them to all my guys, and not one guy said, no thanks. They were all like really thrilled to get one. And over the course of the year, my boss, who said he had never changed, we've had conversations, a lot of conversations, with all these guys. 3 months ago, became a Christian.
Come on.
So I was like, woohoo! God is really, really working. So I've been able to have conversations with all these guys, and a couple of guys have come to church, and one of my guys, Milo, he came up from California about 6 months ago, gang life, he's got a great story. He came up and he said, gave his heart to God, but he couldn't find a church. And he said he's been to a couple of churches, but they never mentioned Jesus. And I said, dude, our church, that's all we talk about is Jesus. Well, let me come. So he came the next Sunday, jumped right on our campus safety crew. He's been serving ever since. He's been growing. He was supposed to be here with me today. Matter of fact, when I talked to him this week, I said, hey, come with me to be on stage. He goes, Mike, I'll follow you anywhere. Obviously not on stage in front of several hundred people. But he's doing really well, and it's just been an incredible journey. And these little Jesuses have just done, they're amazing door openers. They really are. Conversation starters. And now the guys come to me and they'll ask me about things that, you know, biblically or whatever. And it's like, we have conversations. And the joke around the shop now is if I wasn't there, they'd all turn into pillars of salt. So that's my message. These
Amen.
Things are wonderful.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. That's what it looks like to bring people to church. Find, tell, bring. We're going to hold conversation. We're going to invite them to church. Mike is such a great example of that and inspires us to be able to know that we can do it too. And we can invite people to the worship gathering. We can invite people to group. We can invite people to serve with us this Saturday at Serve Day. We can invite people to experience God. Come and see. Now, sometimes conversation can lead to an invitation to follow Jesus. And you're thinking, wait a second. You mean to start a relationship with Jesus, like the prayer that begins a relationship with Jesus, I might be able to lead somebody in that? Believe it or not, I want to correct a little myth. The myth is that can only happen in the weekend worship service. It can actually happen anywhere all the time. So each one of us gets to be ready to invite someone to pray to receive Jesus. For me specifically, it was outside of a worship service. It was at Richardson Hall at the Tulane University School of Architecture in New Orleans, Louisiana. That's where I went to school. And I gave my life to Christ at 1 a.m, pulling an all-nighter in Richardson Hall, because there was a guy named Jeremy who led me in a prayer to start a relationship with Jesus. So what does that prayer need to look like? Should it be a specific, fancy? I mean, I don't want to get this wrong. What if, oh my goodness. Okay, well, let's look in the Bible, because it says in this, in Romans 10:9, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. Jesus, I'm going to get out of the driver's seat of my life and I'm going to invite you to be in the driver's seat. I'm going to surrender my life and have you lead it from this point on. That's what that means. And then it says, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. So why did Jesus die? He died so that I don't have to. So I'm going to believe in my heart that he did that for me and that he rose from the dead so that I could have new life and a relationship with God. So that's what the prayer encompasses. And what happens then? Well, it says right here, you will be saved. So it doesn't have to be a super fancy prayer. It includes those components that we invite somebody to put Jesus as Lord of their life in the driver's seat, and that we invite them to believe in the resurrection of Jesus. So I might, if I'm in conversation with somebody and they're showing spiritual interest, I might go about this. I might say, grab a little piece of paper or napkin or something, and I might say, hey, here's what it looks like. God made people. And he created people because he wants to have a relationship with people. He wants us to talk to him and go through life with him, talk about our highs, our lows, to rely on him, to be directed by him. That's why God created people. And that God gave us some specific instructions about how to go through life. And if we're honest, we don't always follow those instructions. And when we don't follow those instructions, that's called sin. And what the Bible says is that sin separates us from God. Because God is perfect and we're imperfect. And so God says that in the Bible, it says the wages of sin, or not following the instructions of God, the wages of sin is death. And what the Bible means by death is separation from God in this life and the next for eternity. And that's kind of a bleak picture, because we try real hard and we just continue to end up falling short. But let's rewind to the beginning of the story. God created people to be in relationship with him. And so God looks at this picture and he says, I long to be in relationship with people. And so what I'm going to do is I am going to send Jesus Christ, my son, says God, and I'm going to send him to die on a cross so that he will receive death instead of people. And then he resurrects so that we can have new life. And as I'm sharing this, I might invite the person I'm sharing it with, where do you see yourself? Where would you put yourself in this picture? And sometimes they say, right about here. And sometimes they say, you know, I feel like I'm ready to invite Jesus to be Lord of my life. And when they say that, we have an opportunity to pray with them and to pray the prayer that comes out of Romans 10:9. So just like we've done all service, I'm going to invite us to practice that prayer. And there may be some of us that are here today who are actually saying, you know what? I'm right here. And that when we pray this, that you are praying it in your heart with fresh meaning, or for the first time, and that you are starting a relationship with Jesus today as we pray this. So we're going to invite everyone to speak the prayer to start a relationship with Jesus. And it goes like this. I'll prompt you and you respond. Jesus, I need you. I believe you died for my sins. I believe you rose from the grave. I want you as Lord of my life. Today, I surrender to you. Amen. Can we pause for a moment? Because the people who prayed that for the first time in their hearts, there is an incredible celebration that's happening in heaven right now. And we want to join in that celebration. And so if you prayed that for the first time today with meaning in your heart, I've started a relationship with Jesus, would you give us the honor of celebrating with you? This is a place that is safe to do that. If you can't celebrate Jesus in church, where can you? And so would you do this? If you prayed that for the first time, would you say, yep, that's me, and put your hand up really, really high and so that we can celebrate you. Yep, that's you right there. And you right there. Yep, we see you and we celebrate with you. Where else? Who else has prayed that for the first time? Put your hand up high. Right here. We celebrate you. We celebrate you. There's one right there. We celebrate you in your relationship with Jesus. Yep. Right there in the back, we see you, we celebrate you. Best decision of your life. Yep. Amen. And if I missed you, oh my goodness, that celebration was for you as well. Best decision of your life. Before we finish with this last point, can we pause and we say, if you prayed that today to start a relationship with Jesus, we have a gift that we'd love to share with you. It's a Bible and a journal to start your relationship with Jesus with some scriptural thoughts in it, some prompts, because talking to God each day, reading some scriptures is the best way to grow your relationship. You can pick up this at the tables that are in the back of the auditorium, and you'll have an opportunity to interact with somebody who wants to follow up with you this week. So they may ask you for your contact info. It's just so they can give you a text or a call this week and follow up to see how your relationship with Jesus is going. We got one more point. And here's the point. When it comes to sharing your faith, when it comes to holding spiritual conversations, inviting people to church, praying with them to start a relationship with Jesus, it may feel a little bit scary, a little bit intimidating, but here's the encouragement. You have what you need. You have what you need right now. Because you have the presence of Jesus in your life. And when we do, the Bible is clear, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And the Holy Spirit comes onto us when we start a relationship with Jesus. So as Jesus followers, we have the power of God within us. You have what you need. Let's ask for more of the Spirit. So as we close, here's what we're going to do is, would you put your hands out in front of you? And we're going to invite God to fill us with the Spirit. God, we turn to you. Holy Spirit, we turn to you. Fill us. Fill us with the Holy Spirit. That we may see the conversations that you want us to hold. God, fill us with the Holy Spirit so that our words are your words. Fill us with the Holy Spirit so that we may be courageous and bring people with us to come and see. Holy Spirit, we invite you to fill us. May we be reflections of you, God. It's in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Go and bring. If you're new, we welcome you at New Here, right down front in 3 minutes and 33 seconds.